Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you be seated? I better turn on this microphone. You may have heard about the guest preacher who showed up in an Anglican church one Sunday and
is it on now?
Good.
Was tapping the microphone and said, "There's something wrong with this thing," and the congregation said, "And also with you." So I hope that's not going to happen this morning. It's a huge pleasure for me to be at St. Matthew's this morning, and it's just great to be back in the Lower Mainland. I had many years of happy ministry in the Diocese of New Westminster, and I've hiked in Manning Park and camped at Golden Ears and up Stuwamish Chief and up to Garibaldi. So just driving along the valley today from Vancouver and through the clouds seeing the beautiful mountains was really great. And it's wonderful to be here at St. Matthew's. I'm so grateful to Alan for his welcome and for the effective pastoral leadership that you're offering here. And so great to have Brian here, especially in light of Brian's support for the work of International Justice Mission. So thank you for your welcome, and Phil and I are delighted to be with you for your barbecue and an opportunity to chat with you all after the service as well. So would you just take a moment with me as we invoke God's Spirit? O God, bless my words and touch all our hearts that we may be open to your power and your inspiration. This we pray through Christ our Savior. Amen. A number of years ago, I spent a week in a courtroom listening to horrifying testimony from a young woman who had recently come to my church. And I was in that courtroom in order to support her. She'd been raised in poverty and a victim of terrible sexual abuse at the hands of an older brother. It was a jury trial, so all that week I sat in the courtroom and I watched the expressions on the faces of the members of the jury. And by the end of the week, the set of their jaw showed that they intended for that young woman to receive the justice that she deserved. The jury found her brother guilty as charged, and right there on the spot, the judge handed down the harshest sentence possible and did not mince words in expressing how repugnant he found the brother's lack of repentance. Justice is an important value for Christians. The theme of justice runs through the scriptures from beginning to end. This morning we read from the book of Isaiah, where God says, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free?" Now, the word justice is found 194 times throughout the scriptures. And the organization that I represent, International Justice Mission, holds the conviction that the church, that Christians, are eager to respond to God's call to do justice. The challenge that I think many of us face in response to that call is how. So I'd like to talk to you for the next few minutes about a practical response to the question how. How the organization that I represent, International Justice Mission, mobilizes Christians to address injustice. Now, most of us walk around with some notion of what is meant by the word justice. But pushed to define injustice, I think many of us would have a hard time being concise. At IJM, we have used this definition. Injustice is what happens when somebody uses their power to take from somebody else the good things God intended for them to have, their life, liberty, dignity, or the fruit of their love or labor. International Justice Mission is a global organization that works for justice in almost 20 communities throughout Africa, Latin America, South and Southeast Asia. And IJM's stated vision is to rescue thousands, protect millions, and prove that justice for the poor is possible. We're a Christian organization, and IJM was founded in 1997 by Gary Haugen, who in 1994 was the United Nations lead investigator into the genocide in Rwanda. And he returned from that mission with the view that everyday violence is as much a part of life in the developing world as hunger or disease. And the poorest are most vulnerable because their justice systems don't protect them. According to the United Nations, justice systems in the developing world are so broken that there is nothing to shield the poor. And this is why IJM's work is so vital. Take forced labor slavery, for example. The Global Slavery Index estimates that nearly 36 million people in the world are held as slaves today. 36 million. That's more than the entire population of Canada. That's more people than were extracted from Africa during the entire 400 years of the transatlantic slave trade. When IJM began working in India, it was almost impossible to get a slave owner charged for clear violations of the laws on the books in India against slavery. But today, thanks to IJM's work, owning slaves has begun to shift from low risk to high risk. The way that we operate is like this. International Justice Mission takes a very boots-on-the-ground approach to addressing violence and injustice. In cooperation with local authorities, always in cooperation with local authorities, we rescue victims, we take suspected perpetrators into custody, we provide aftercare support for survivors, and then over time, we ensure that victims are properly represented in court and ensure that resources are provided to repair and strengthen broken justice systems. So then, by repeating this process of rescue, restore, restrain, and represent, we not only uncover where the justice system is broken, we find solutions and prove that the system can work to protect the poor. This year, for example, among our many success stories, IJM successfully achieved 3 massive rescue operations in India. Over a period of weeks, 710 men, women, and children were delivered from forced labor in several brick factories. Survivors of that experience of slavery told how the owners of those brick factories had tricked them into slavery and then forced them to work 18 hours a day for no pay, and how the owners used physical and verbal abuse to intimidate them from standing up for their rights. But through IJM's intervention, perpetrators were restrained, aftercare support was provided, and now local courts are working to ensure that justice is done for those survivors. Injustice is an affront to God. But IJM's efforts to restore dignity give glory to God. The God we worship here this morning is the God of all justice, the God of all mercy. Christians feel a sense of indignation at stories about young boys enslaved in the fishing industry in Ghana, or widows violently thrown off their land in Uganda, or young girls in the Philippines or Cambodia or Thailand forcibly sexually exploited. We feel this indignation because the Lord has placed something of God's heart for justice within the human heart. We share that character of God. The Ancient of Days has hated injustice throughout history and has built into his people the desire to respond. And I want to say that it's a cop-out only to feel good about a God who cares about injustice. It's a cop-out only to worship and pray and give thanks to a God for whom justice is important, but to do nothing else. We can praise and worship God. We ought to praise and worship God, but alone, those activities are not enough. As we heard from Isaiah today, God is not pleased by empty ceremony, ritual, or hollow fasting. Is not this the fast that I choose, God says, to loose the bonds of injustice, to let the oppressed go free? You and I have a part to play in God's response. Isaiah says, when the needy cry out for help, God responds, you shall call, You shall call and the Lord will answer, is what Isaiah says. You shall cry for help and he will say, here I am. But again, the question is, how? How does God show up? Where is God in the face of injustice? Now, I would affirm that in God's sovereignty, God could intervene supernaturally in instances of injustice. But Jesus relentlessly taught that God, in God's wisdom, has chosen to give you and me a part to play in the work of justice. It was Blaise Pascal who wrote 350 years ago that God lends to his creatures the dignity of causality. Through our actions, we participate in the action of God. And it was C.S. Lewis who said, God seems to do nothing of himself which he can possibly delegate to his creatures. And in John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these. Our faith teaches that most frequently, God intervenes through people to overcome injustice and replace it with what the Bible calls shalom, peace with justice. Now, local churches have a very broad mandate. We teach, baptize, nurture new believers, create a sense of community and fellowship, enjoy the beauty of God's creation. Local churches face many demands, and yet one of these demands is the call to do justice. International Justice Mission is a vehicle through which Christians and local churches can engage in the work of justice. By choosing to respond practically, we can know that not only have we addressed symptoms, but that we have also helped to disable root causes of injustice and violent oppression. Once we've become sensitized to the realities of the world's injustice, we can no longer be satisfied merely to retreat into a stained glass fortress and pray to God to do something about the horrible things going on out there. My colleague, Phil Riley, who is here with me this morning, recently visited IJM's field office in Rwanda. And while he was there, Phil attended a graduation event for children who had recently gone through International Justice Mission's post-trauma therapy program. These were children, young girls and boys, who had suffered such horrors as being taken from a sidewalk while walking home from church, raped, and left for dead in an abandoned hut. But through IJM's aftercare program, these kids were provided counseling to help forge restoration and hope for the future. So when he got back, Phil described arriving at the hotel where the group ate before the graduation ceremony. And questions on pieces of paper were passed around in traditional Rwandan baskets. So pulling out the first question, Phil stumbled to ask in the Rwandan dialect, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? Now you need to understand, you'll find out after the service, Phil is Scottish. I find it terribly difficult to understand Phil when he's speaking in English. So imagine what it was like for people in Rwanda to hear someone speaking Kinyarwanda and making his way through this question, what would you do if you had all the money in the world? But they suppressed their laughter and obliged Phil by giving answers that ranged from buying a cow to going to university. So a number of other questions were passed around, and soon after, a mother of one of the children pulled the question, "What has been your most memorable day?" Now think about that question for yourself. What has been the most memorable day of your life? Your wedding day? The day one of your children was born? When you held your first grandchild in your arms? Well, Phil recalls the tragedy of that mother's response. Because with eyes down, turned to the table, and in a soft-spoken voice, she said, "The day my daughter was raped." What a horrible silence followed that. And what deep wounds and raw emotion her response revealed. But the point is that through the efforts of IJM, at that graduation ceremony, children were reclaiming their lives, lives that had been stolen. And that day, they made the declaration that abuse would not define their future. And Phil recalls that as they received their graduation certificate, smiles adorned each child's face. There are moments in life when the only appropriate thing to do is to dance. Phil took this picture while he was in Rwanda. We conceal the face of the child for the sake of the child's protection. But what Phil recalls is what it felt like for him to join the beat of the African drum. You'll have to find out from it. Maybe he could demonstrate at the coffee hour what that looked like. And then to be in that room with children who danced with total abandon, laughter that filled the room. And Phil said that for a brief moment, the distance between heaven and earth became paper thin, that the veil between God's kingdom of grace and mercy and love and justice to this broken world was pulled back. It was a moment that offered a glimpse of the certain hope that God offers, that injustice and abuse will not have the final word. IJM works to mobilize local churches to join the fight to protect the poor from everyday violence. Canadian musician Bruce Coburn vividly expresses our desire when he sings, "Nothing worth having comes without a fight. Got a kick at the darkness till it bleeds daylight." There are many ways that you can kick at the darkness. For example, you can sign up for our Travel Brave initiative so that when you travel abroad to places like Thailand or the Dominican Republic, you know how to watch for indications of sexual exploitation of children and how to report it. For students and grads, we offer internships and fellowships that will last from months to years. You can become what we call a freedom partner. There's more information about these things that are on the table in the other room. And one opportunity that's upcoming for people in the Lower Mainland is to attend IJM's annual benefit dinner at the Vancouver Club next month on October 28th. So, as I bring this to a close this morning, I want to remind you, as Alan did at the beginning of the service, that tomorrow is the day named in the church's liturgical calendar as the Feast of St. Matthew. The Apostle Matthew, formerly a corrupt representative of his government, a tax collector who turned away from a life of defrauding the poor in order to follow Jesus. Jesus called Matthew from a life of injustice to an abundant life, a just life. And IJM specializes in turning around the lives of people such as this. So I hope that you'll feel a little bit inspired by what you've heard me say today, that you will be inspired, moved to learn more about what the scriptures say about the call to do justice. And maybe you'll see that IJM can be a vehicle for you to exercise the dignity of causality and participate in God's work. Perhaps you'll feel encouraged to support IJM's work through your money and prayers. But my prayer above all for you is that you will be encouraged by the knowledge that Christians can answer the question, how? By demonstrating through our actions that in the face of injustice, God shows up. God says, "Here I am." Equally, in response to Christ's call, may we respond, "Lord, choose me." Amen.